The following program is brought to you by the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, and I'm Pastor Schulze.
Is there something wrong with being rich? I'm Pastor Schulze with the Called Obedience Radio Ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over this station. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for thy divine illumination on this word of thy truth in the name of Jesus. Amen. Last week, we considered the story of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus asking him, "Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" As you recall, Jesus first gave him the last of the five Ten Commandments. These were commandments relating to man's relationship with man. And the young man said, "I kept all those." And then Jesus took the man to his relationship with God. And he said to him, "One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up thy cross, and follow me." So what the call was here is that Jesus actually took this young man to the first of the Ten Commandments, which is, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And this young man found out that he did have a God beside the God in heaven, and that this God was money, his wealth. And he was not willing to give it up, and so he disqualified himself from becoming a disciple and from receiving everlasting life. So money is a dangerous thing. And today I want to take you to the text, or the next part of this text. I want to take you to the story that follows the rich young man turning away from Jesus. And we find this in Mark 10:23. "And Jesus," it says, "looked round about, and says unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answers again, and says unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying amongst themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, says, With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." The question I want to bring to you, first of all, today, is there something wrong in being wealthy? And my answer is, from the Bible, there's nothing wrong with having wealth. But while there's nothing wrong with having wealth, it is dangerous to be wealthy. For Jesus says, hardly anybody who is wealthy will enter the kingdom of God. So, if you get to heaven, you see very, very, very few wealthy people there. I think there are two kinds of people that will be extremely rare in heaven, and those are the wealthy and those are the intellectuals. Remember, at one point Jesus said, "These things are not revealed to the wise and to the prudent." God's not able to reveal very much to people who take pride in their intellectualism. So it is no wonder that when Jesus preached his first sermon, he used as his text an Old Testament passage which begins like this: "I come to preach the gospel to the poor." So when it comes to the things of God, your brain and your money can really get in your way. Now, getting back to this again, money in itself is not the problem. Paul, in his first letter to Timothy, tells him what the problem is. He says there that the love of money is the root of all evil. In other words, if you love money, you keep it for yourself, with rare exceptions. So it's not money that's the problem, but loving money is the problem. And most people, once they have a little bit of it, fall in love with it, They want more and more of it, and that's what happened to the rich young ruler. So let me get to the next question then. Who is wealthy? Who is rich? My definition of wealth is this, and you're not likely to like me for this definition of wealth. My definition of wealth is this. Any man who has more than one pair of shoes, who has more than one coat to wear, who has money to buy more than three meals a day, is a wealthy person. Because my definition of wealth is, if any one of us has more than what we need to make it through the day, if we have more than our daily bread, we are wealthy and have something to give away to people who have less. And I don't think that my definition of wealth is any different than that of the Apostle Paul's, who said, if we have food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Let's talk about the rich and the super rich, the ones who are like the rich young ruler, of whom it can be said they have much possession. Dear ones, I want to tell you that you have no reason to resent them, to hate them, or to think of them any less than anybody else. Again, having wealth is not a sin. It is just falling in love with it and putting God second, that is. God did not have any problem with Abraham, who was one of the richest men in the area, or with Job, who was the richest man in the country. None of these men ever began to fall in love with what they had, but they used it wisely, industriously, and responsively. Don't you resent people that are rich. God does not. Some people get rich by inheritance, but most of them acquire riches through hard work, through discipline, honesty, a good sense of stewardship, and God would like to have more of those kinds of people. What could the Church of Jesus do if they had more millionaires? If every one of these rich people would tithe 20%, 30%, 40%, 50%? I once heard of a man who started a tractor business, and it was not very long that he ended up giving away 90% to the things of God, and he kept 10% of what he made. Don't resent rich people. Be thankful when you drive through a lovely neighborhood where the homes run in millions of dollars, because these rich people help poor people get jobs. Because what does it take to build a fancy car for the rich men? But many, many workers who otherwise would not have work at all. What does it take, my friend, to build a huge, lovely home? What does it take to keep up the property? Many who have no jobs will be hired to cut the grass, to trim the hedges, to plant the shrubbery. Because of that, they can put food on their tables for their families. Rich men create jobs. Poor men cannot give anyone a job. If everyone would live in a little shack, who could help the poor? Who could help the missionaries build hospitals? Who could help put the gospel on radio programs and television programs so the world will know that there is a Jesus, a Christ? Oh, dear ones, God created this world rich, rich in forests, rich in plants and minerals and oil and coal and rivers and lakes and beautiful sights. God is a God of extravagance. God could have created just one star, but he created trillions of them. He could have created just one color, but he created a whole spectrum of them. He could have created just one sound, but he created many. God could have created you with one eye, or one ear, or one hand, or one kidney, but you have two of each. Don't you think for a moment that it's not spiritual to be rich. You can be just as spiritual being rich as being poor, and you can be just as proud being poor as you can be as being rich. I believe with all my heart that God is looking for more people whom he can trust with riches so they will be used for his glory. But he can hardly find anybody who he can trust with wealth. If he gives most of them a little, they'll just, my friend, want more and more and more. And they soon want to get this, and they want to get that, and they want to have a raise, and it goes on and on. But listen, God is not looking for your 10%. God is looking, my friend, for you to give way beyond the Old Testament 10%. He wants you to be a generous giver, pressed down and shaken together. It's not money itself that despiritualizes people, but the love of it. So in my 37 years of ministry, I've seldom seen rich people, wealthy people, in regular church prayer meetings, bending their knee to pray for revival. I've seldom seen intellectuals, my friend, people of great intelligence, bowing their knee at regular church prayer meetings. Jesus said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Oh, my dear friends, is there any chance for a camel or for a rope to go through the eye of a needle? So obviously, as we read in our text, it says the disciples were astonished out of measure to find out that a rich man, humanly speaking, has no chance to make it to heaven. And then Jesus looked upon his disciples and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." So it takes a miracle. It takes a miracle of God for anybody of wealth to make it to heaven. So then, as we continue in our text, Peter, it says, began to say to Jesus, "Lo, we have left all and have followed thee." Now Peter says, we've done this, we've forsaken all. The rich young man did not do it. He did not forsake and sell all he had to follow you. But we've done it. Now, what are we going to get out of this? And then Jesus comes up with this surprising answer. He said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or wife, or mother, or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall have an hundredfold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." There you have it. Oh, this poor, poor, rich young man. He didn't want to sell his house and give the money to the poor. He thought he was going to lose everything. Oh, what a lie of the devil. My friend, if he would have sold his house and followed Jesus, he would have received hundreds of houses where he would have been welcomed in. If he would have left his 3, 4, 10 brothers and sisters, he would have received hundreds of brothers and sisters in the kingdom of God who would have loved him more than his earthly brothers and sisters. Isn't the devil terrible? He tells us if we really do what Jesus tells us to do and take up our cross and follow him, we will be losers. We'll become poor. We'll become destitute. We lose our friends. We'll go hungry. We won't be able to pay our bills. What a lie of the devil. So everyone who forsakes all to follow Jesus will become more blessed than he's ever been before. We then have Jesus looking after us, after our needs, even as he looked after the needs of his first 12 disciples, who had everything they needed every day of their lives, with persecutions. Yes, that's what Jesus also said. So, my friend, I hope we settle the issue today that wealth itself is not the problem. There is no sin in money. The sin is in the love of money, for it is the root of all evil. Let us have prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful today that you sent your Son Jesus to this world, that you taught us through him the things we need to know, how to live from day to day, how we are to relate to you, how we are to relate to our fellow men, friends and enemy alike. You taught us through Jesus how we are to relate to money and how we are to relate to the poor. You taught us, O Lord, the fruits of the Spirit, how we need them. You taught us the deceitfulness of sin. You taught us, dear Jesus, the importance of repentance, 180 degrees of repentance, so we might surely and truly follow thee with all our hearts, soul, mind, and strength. Help us, Jesus, help each one out there to look at their financial situation, at their wealth, and consider thy teachings and do all they can to please you with what they have every day. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you for listening to the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Tune in again next week. I'm Pastor Schulze. Goodbye now until then.
In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.